If I was to say to you big battles, I wonder what would come to mind. The Battle of Hastings, perhaps. The Battle of Waterloo, World War II, World War I. Rocky Bilbao versus Apollo Creed. Maybe Japan versus South Africa, if you saw the rugby the other night. That was an amazing... Sorry, Glenn. Slip of the tongue. Maybe it's the battle of the heart. Maybe it's the battle of the mind. Maybe it's the battle of the bulge. I don't know what you've faced, what you're facing, whether it's a battle or a challenge, perhaps something that's bigger than you, or at least it feels that it's bigger than you. Maybe you're battling a weight problem that you've just been fighting and trying to find the way through, or you're battling an addiction that just feels like there is no light at the end of the tunnel, or depression, or feelings of inadequacy, or you feel trapped in a job or in a relationship that feels dead end. Or perhaps somebody's hurt you, and it's not only scarred you, but it's disabled you or paralyzed you. And perhaps you feel like you will never overcome it, whatever it might be. A work situation, a home situation. And it just feels so big. And it feels like life is just happening to you at the moment, that you're existing. But if you are facing something that seems too big for you right now, I've got some great news. Some great news for you. And the first is this, is that with Christ, you are an overcomer. With Christ, you are an overcomer. Not that you will be, but positionally right now with Christ, that is what you are. This series is about you discovering your true selfie. We can see God's perspective of who we are so that we can start living in the truth of who we are rather than the lies that we so often believe. And Scripture tells us time and time again that we are positionally in Christ. This is true for us. Whatever is going on in our lives, whatever is going on in our circumstances, whatever hardships we may be facing, positionally with Christ, that is what we are. We are an overcomer. And when you know who you are, you'll know what to do. Paul, writing to a bunch of Christ followers in Corinth, in Romans 8 says this, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Paul says no. No in all these things, he says. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Paul lists seven things that we may all face in one form or another. Shall trouble or hardship, whether that be trouble with our health or with our marriage, or with your kids. Shall trouble or hardship, Paul says, no. Or persecution. Maybe you've been bullied at school. You are being bullied at school or in the workplace. You're isolated at school or in the workplace because you're perceived as a Bible basher. So when you walk in the room, everybody else walks out. Or the conversation and the giggling stops when you walk in and it begins again when you walk out. Perhaps it is that you've walked away from a very profitable deal because it would have meant you would have had to compromise something about what you believe, about you, what you know to be true and right. And as a result, you're struggling and you're having a tough time in the workplace. He says, no, these things don't separate us otherwise. He says, or famine, or nakedness. Now, you may not be starving, and I'm glad you've all got your clothes on. You may not be starving. But it may be that you've got some financial hardships, which means that there's more month left than the money. Or danger or sword. Maybe you've just had some bad news regarding your health or the health of somebody that you know. And Paul responds with this emphatic no, no, nada, no way, he says. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. And that phrase, more than conquerors, comes from the Greek word, which basically is the Greek word hupernikio. If I could have done, I would have had a whole bunch of T-shirts printed for you this week so that you could have left with hupernikio back to front on your T-shirt, so when you look in the mirror in the morning, it will remind you that you are hupernikio. What are you? Hupernikio. You are hupernikio. That's like, I'm hupernikio. It's like a superhero name, if ever there was a superhero name. And Paul says, that is what you are. Not what you might become when you get your life sorted out, or when you get things together. Paul says that is the reality. Positionally, if you are in Christ, he says you are hupernikio. More than a conqueror. Notice, though, that it's not in our own power, but he says through Christ who loves us. It's not in my own strength. It's not in my own power. It's not through the power of, it is through the power of the risen Christ. That on the cross, he delivered a fatal blow. He smashed death to bits. He defeated the powers of darkness. He broke the chains that bound us. And then he rose from the dead. And the same power that conquered the grave lives in you and lives in me, which is why we are hupernikio. Hupernikio. More than conquerors. Why? Because Christ is more than a conqueror. And it's Christ who lives in you, and it is Christ that will be your all and your everything. As I said, this isn't what you're going to become when you get your act together, when you get to heaven, when you get your life in order. Paul says, no, positionally, right now, through Christ, because of what he has done on the cross, through smashing the power of death to bits, through rising from the grave, he says, you are more than a conqueror. You're hupernikia. You are an overcomer. And when you know who you are, you'll know what to do. Touched last week, very briefly on the story of Gideon, Judges 6, about this man who felt that he was from the most pathetic family and he was the most weakest in that pathetic family. What could he possibly do? And yet God used him to overthrow a whole Midianite army with a handful of men. Moses, who thought that he hadn't the power to go in front of this great king Pharaoh, and God sends him to speak freedom for God's people, and Pharaoh lets them go from 400 years of slavery. David, a small shepherd boy with a sling and a few stones, defeats the great giant Goliath and frees his people. They were hupernikio, not strong in their own right in their own might, but through the power of God in them, they were more than conquerors through him who loves us. And in John 16:33, Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble. And perhaps you've believed the lie that if you become a Christian, you come to church, you do all the right things, that life is just going to be cushy for you. Life is not cushy. Life is life. And for some of us, at times it feels cushy, but other times it feels like it's you're ice skating uphill. And it's a very steep hill. And you keep falling flat on your face over and over again. But Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble. But he says, but take heart, I have overcome the world. How can I be an overcomer? Because he has overcome, because he is an overcomer. When you hear the news that the leader of your church is not going to be in the position that he's in, and that potentially things might change a little bit, and those feelings of doubt and concern or questions come in, well, we don't need to be afraid. We've had to go through that journey. We don't need to be afraid. Why? Because he is the great overcomer. He has overcome. He has gone before us. And so we can trust him, and we can pull apart, or we can pull together. We can stand together. We can work together. We can move forward together. Why? Not because of any one person or any one situation, but because through Christ, in our workplaces, in our families, in our schools, in our universities, in our lives, in our relationships, he has overcome and he lives in us. And because positionally we are in Christ, we are hupernikio. So, as an overcomer, let me encourage you to fight in two ways. Firstly, to fight with conquering attitudes. All right? To fight with conquering attitudes. You see, often we don't overcome because we don't believe that we can. I'm more super knackered now than Hooper Nikio. That I consider that I'm dead, that it's it, that it's over. For years, perhaps, we've been telling ourselves or have been told of experiences that have convinced us that we can't. And so even our prayers, our expectations become faithless and wishy-washy. I don't expect anything to change because it's always been this way. And so we lose the battle in our minds. We wave the white flag of surrender before we ever go into battle in the world. We've lost sight of who our true selfie is, that I'm an overcomer in Christ, positionally because of who he is and what he's done. I'm an overcomer. It means I can walk into work this week, into my life this week, into school this week, into my relationships this week, positionally in Christ, and know that in him, through him, because of him, I can overcome. We say to ourselves, well, my marriage will never get any better. He's always going to be a jerk. Or I'm always going to battle with that addiction. I'm never going to be free. I'm never going to get to grips with my anger. I'll never get past that hurt, never be able to forgive them or myself. I'm never going to be able to find that special him or that special her. But that's victim talk. And friends, if you're a Christian, you are not a victim, you are a victor. You are hupernikio. You are more than a conqueror. And friends, it's morphing time. You know the Power Rangers? You know, they would change from these just kind of weak little individual human beings and they would press their one and they have a watch or something, was it? And they would then kind of go, it's morphing time. Well, friends, that's how we need to become in our walk with Christ. If we feel like the battle is lost and we're waving the white flag of surrender, friends, it is morphing time. You are hupernikio, more than a conqueror. As I've thought and as I've reflected about this, this song, this piece from the film Les Miserables just kept coming back to me again. A picture of what it's like that when you feel like you're up against it, that actually when you stand up and you stand together, you don't need to be slaves again anymore, that now you can be free. Take a look and enjoy.
You hear the people singing the song of angry men. It is the music of a people who will not be slaves again. When the beating of your heart echoes the beating of the drums, there is a life about to start when tomorrow comes. Will you join in our crusade? Strong and stand with me. Beyond the barricade, is there a world you long to see?
Then join in the fight that will give you the right to be free.
Do you hear the people sing? Sing the song of angry men. It is the music of the people who will not be saved again. When the beating
there is a life about to summon tomorrow comes.
Will you give all you can give so that I
wanted to have like a flag for everybody, and we could just stand up and we could go, yes, come on, we're Hoopernickio. We're more than conquerors. When we stand up and when we stand together, then we can fight whatever it is that comes up against us and that we come up against. Faith-filled attitudes lead to faith-filled actions. Godly beliefs lead to godly behavior. So here's what you can do. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. Paul says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought. Maybe you've heard that verse before. And the trouble is, this is where we often finish the verse. I've got to take captive every thought. I'm having a thought that I shouldn't be having. I've got to take it captive. But here's the key. This is what makes the difference. This is where the truth and the power comes in. Because it goes on, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. I can't do it, Steve. I can't do it. No, hang on. The truth of God. That's a lie of the enemy. The truth of God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I take that thought captive and I make it obedient to Christ. No, Christ says this is truth. I will live in the reality and walk in the reality of truth. This is impossible. This is an impossible situation. No, all things are possible with God. I don't have enough faith, Steve. Well, you only need as much faith that is as small as a mustard seed, the smallest seed that you can possibly have. In other words, you just need faith. Not a lot of faith. You just need faith. And so you grab every thought that is not consistent with God's word and you make it obedient to Christ. You remind yourself of truth. So when we tell you that we want you to know and we want you to get into God's word, we want you to learn God's word, it's not because it's like we don't get bonus points in heaven because of it. It's because we know that the truth of God's word changes our minds, and our mind controls what we feel and our feelings control how we David in Psalm 18:29 says this, in your strength, he says, I can crush an army. With my God, I can scale any wall. Whatever comes against me, whatever I face, I'm going to get through it and I'm going to get over it. Why? In your strength. In his strength is where our strength comes. So let's not let what others have said to me or have done to me or believe about me, stop me from doing what God wants me to do. Believe it or not, you are not a victim. You are Hoopernickio, more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. So fight with conquering attitudes. And then lastly, fight with supernatural weapons. Fight with supernatural weapons. Paul in 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5 says this, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power. Again, that Greek word is the word dunamis, which is where we get our word dynamite from. They have divine power. They have dynamite to demolish strongholds. And sometimes God works in a miracle, in a moment. We see a breakthrough. Something that we struggled with, we're now suddenly set free from. But for many, often, it means a journey, not a moment. A journey over time, learning not to fight with our strength, but in his. Not with our weapons, but with his weapons. Not to flail and fail, but to find freedom. Yes, there is an enemy. There is a thief who seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. The trouble is he doesn't make what he offers to us look like it's steal, killing, and destroy. It looks like it's attractive. It's only when we find ourselves in a dead-end cul-de-sac that we realize that actually the road that we've gone down leads to just those things. We do not need to be afraid because through Christ we are Hoopernickio. So we fight not like a man or like a woman, but we fight like a man or a woman of God. We take those thoughts captive and we make it obedient to Christ. And then we can begin to find freedom. I want to invite Glenn to come up and just share a little bit about his story. I don't know whether you know anything about Glenn's story or not, but he's had his own battles and his own struggles, but he's learning that he is Hupernican. And Glenn and I went for a walk and had a Costa this week. Gordon and Jane aren't here, so I can say that. Just tell us a little bit.
Hupernican.
Thank you very much.
You call me Hoop.
Hoop. tell us a little bit about the wrestle and the struggle that you've had.
So my name's Glenn, and I'm an alcoholic. And I've wanted to say that in context for a long time. I say it at work all the time, and everyone thinks I'm joking. The challenge was I'm someone who struggled with anxiety since I was 9 years old. I'm a fairly highly strung individual at the best of times, and anxiety and depression are very close bedfellows. So if you've struggled with one, you've struggled with the other one. I also have a very, very stressful job. I sit on the board of a European company, well, global company, but the European part that I sit on the board of does about $2 billion a year. So it's quite a big company, and it's quite stressful, and I travel around Europe all the time. So a couple, anxiety, bedfellow with depression, stress, and all the rest. I use alcohol to self-medicate. And the self-medication is how I switch off Glenn Robinson, right? How do I just switch it off, get away from me, and just flatline? The problem with alcohol is it's a central nervous system depressant. So everyone thinks it's a feel-good thing because you feel good when you drink. But the side effects of alcohol for 3 days at least after you've had a good session is a central nervous system depressant. So what it does is it just takes you down a spiral to more depression, more anxiety, moodiness, irritability, all of that sort of stuff, and we all know
Can I just stop you? Is your phone on?
I don't have it on me.
Oh, okay. So I haven't either, so.
It's the supernatural power.
Hupernicio.
Hupernicio.
I can feel it. That's good.
Thanks. And, so the people who take the brunt of that are the people who love you the most, right? So your wife and your family are the ones that pick up all of that slippery slope. So that was the problem.
Okay. So now, how many, you're dry? How long have you been dry?
On December the 18th, it'll be 3 years.
Fantastic.
3 years.
Okay.
Thanks. And then?
And is it easy?
No, I mean, you get lots and lots of different types of alcoholics. When I was thinking about this discussion, I was going to describe myself as a fully functional alcoholic, but there was nothing fully about it. I was a functional alcoholic, and I wasn't a wife beater, and I wasn't in the gutter. I went into work, I did my job, I never drank during hours. Our marriage was, I wouldn't say our marriage was on the rocks, but it was certainly in the white water just in front of the rocks, before it smashes up on the rocks. And it wasn't easy. And I tried a lot of stuff on my own. I tried a lot on my own. And I got to a point where I turned to you, right, in the first instance. And I don't know. I mean, I'd been coming to church with my family, but I didn't know Steve. You didn't know me. You owed me nothing. And I called you up and I said, I'm the South African bloke. Well, I'm this Japanese bloke. I could do with a chat, a walk. And Steve was like, no problem. Don't even know who you are, but 7 o'clock work? Yep, dish, done. And I needed to talk to a Christian bloke because, to talk to a Christian woman wouldn't have been a good insight. That would have got into my head at the time. And we spoke. I don't know if a few of you remember a few years ago, we all came up and prayed with Steve. Remember that? We came in the front of the church, we prayed to Steve, and I said one of the prayers, and I was crying, and we got in the car, and we drove home, and I said to Louisa, was that, did I embarrass you a bit when I was crying? And she went, no, the crying was okay. She said the sobbing was a little bit over the top, but gratitude is proportional to need, and I really, really needed some help, and I needed some Christian stuff around me at the time, and that's how it started.
So you've had a lot of times when you travel a lot, you've been on your own. How have you been applying some of these principles, so fighting with supernatural weapons, to to help you when the urge comes back again to continue to be honourable to God and to take those thoughts captive and to make them obedient to Christ.
Okay. So it was multifaceted, but the thing that stood out for me was at the time I decided I was going to deal with this thing, and we went for that chat. You were doing a series called Word on the Street. And I think the first or the second one of those, the scripture that you gave out was James 4, verse 7. And just in case anyone thinks I'm super Christian and I just know scripture, I had to say to Steve, can you remember what that scripture was? and that scripture was, submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Man, and I hung on to that thing. I hung on to that scripture. I must have said it certainly in the first 6 months, at least 20 times a day, just all the time. And then as those 6 months passed, I started to get a bit cocky with it. You know, it was like you've got no place here, buddy, out. You know, or you think you're hard enough, you don't know who I hang with. You know, that scripture was just all the time I was just saying it. There are a few other things, though, that I think are worth adding in. So I'm very blessed to have a wife and a mother who, you know, when you say some people leave no stone unturned, you know, it means they put in a bit of effort. With my wife and my mother, no stone unturned means they go 100 foot down, they go 5Ks wide, and they turn everything over. So I had a lot of research around me as well. And there's a lot of new thinking around treating alcoholism. So I had Christian support. I had scripture and prayer all day, every day. And then I found out that hypoglycemia, blood sugar levels, have a lot to do with managing cravings for alcohol, drugs, and stuff. So whenever I feel a craving, I eat, as you can tell, right? I eat and I do some exercise. So it was multifaceted, but the Christian support, and I was a little bit hesitant, because I didn't know you. You know, who's this guy? Just now you need me, all of a sudden you phoned me up. But it was instantaneous. There were other blokes in the church as well who just were rallied around. And their scripture was just every time I craved. Just the scripture, that scripture, that scripture, that scripture. I hung on to it for dear life.
And now, presumably, it's just a breeze?
No. Now we got rid of alcohol in the house to start. Now Louisa's got some alcohol in the house with my blessing, because she can drink completely sensibly. It's in a fridge. It's locked. And every time Louisa has a drink, she will say, how are you feeling? Are you good? And there will be times I'll go, nah, and there's no alcohol. And, it's always at those surprising times. It sneaks up on you when you have those cravings. And the first thing I do is I pray. And the second thing I do is I eat. It'll be there till the day I die. I mean, I've had the longest I've given up before this was 2 years. So 3 years will be a record for me. But it's always there. It's always there. And it's usually when you least expect it, there's a craving. But I got the recipe.
Good. Let's pray for Glenn. Because without doubt, when you share something like this, the enemy will want to come in and like a wave and hit him again. So, Father, thank you for Glenn and for his honesty. Thank you for the journey that he's been on with you. And thank you for him being willing to be vulnerable and share with us what has helped him to be hupernikio, to be an overcomer, to be more than a conqueror. Thank you that your word has brought strength and life. And as he's taken those thoughts captive and he makes them obedient to you, that he is beginning to walk in freedom. And Father, I pray for him this week, tonight as he goes home, this week as he's out on business, through the stresses and the struggles of a busy life and a pressured job. Father, I pray that he would keep hold of the things that he knows that have helped him to stand strong, and he would remain faithful to you and obedient to you in that. We pray for the presence of your Holy Spirit on him. Pray that you give him strength, you help him to continue to walk in freedom and lead many others to freedom as well because of what he's been through, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's thank Glenn. Brave to stand up in front of a bunch of people that you know admit that you're an alcoholic and share that you're not through it all. But the reason that I asked Glenn to do that, one's because I knew that he would probably be willing to do that, but also because of his honesty and the fact that, I mean, look, this is true. We're not promised a pain-free, easy life. But even in the midst of it, there is power and strength that's available for you and for me. And we have a choice about whether we plug into that or whether we choose to ignore it and try and do it on our own. Whether we lean towards temptation or whether we walk away from it. Whether we take that captive thought and make it obedient to Christ or whether we disobey Christ and run with that thought. They're choices all the time. And it's not just the combination of, you know, he hasn't just prayed and it's all gone away. It's still a daily battle. Okay, and he needs the support of his amazing wife and his mother-in-law and friends, family, brothers, the church around him to help him to continue to do that. Why? Because we're not meant to do this journey on our own. Yes, we're hupernikio, all right, but part of being hupernikio is that we stand connected and together and as one, which enables us to find freedom in the midst of that. See, we're not superhuman, all right? Humanly speaking, even if you're a bloke, all right, even if you're a tough South African bloke, all right, you're fragile. Again, Paul in 2 Corinthians says this, for we have this treasure. What treasure? This treasure, the wonder of God's transforming power in our lives. He says, we have this treasure in jars of clay. What is a jar of clay? What happens if you drop it on the floor? It doesn't bounce, it breaks into a million pieces. It's fragile. You are fragile. I am fragile. We are fragile. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power, dunamis, dynamite, all right, is from God and not from us. The way I... The way that I think about it is this. You know, you get a can of Coke? You get a can of Coke, yeah? And you try and squeeze a can of Coke while the thing's still on. You can't do it. Doesn't matter how Rambo you are, but you pop the, what's it called on the top? Thank you. Ring pull. You pop the ring pull on the top, all right? And suddenly all the power that's within disappears and you can crush it really easily, all right? We have Christ in us, his power and his strength in us, and this power, this dunamis, this dynamite is from God and not from us. Super divine power, strength from within, that enables us to stand strong in him. Paul says we are hard pressed on every side but not crushed. We are perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. His dunamis makes us dynamic. 1 John 4 verse 4 says this, you dear children are from God and have overcome, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Maybe you're facing something, an obstacle, some news that you've just heard, some challenges in your relationships, an addiction that you're struggling to overcome, a hurdle that you need to overcome, pain, either physical pain or emotional pain. Maybe it's unforgiveness, but something is overwhelming you. It seems too much, it seems too big, it seems too high. You've hung out the white flag. Friends, today is the day to stand on the truth of God's word. You've got to fight for your right to party. Or it should be, you've got to fight for your right to party! Really. If you know who you are, you'll know what to do. Don't have the strength to fight it anymore. No, nor does anyone. You have everything you need in Christ. And it was this hope, it was this confidence, it was this understanding, it was this hupernikio that enabled Corrie ten Boom to survive the horrors of the Nazi concentration camps in World War II. And this is what she said. It was not a wish. It was a fact. We knew it. We experienced it minute by minute. Poor, hated, and hungry. We are more than conquerors. Not we shall be, we are. Life took place on two very different levels. One, the observable, the external life grew every day more horrible. The other, the life we lived with God, grew daily better. Truth upon truth, glory upon glory. And she could say that, having come through years of abuse and neglect, in the heart of a Nazi concentration camp, she found and discovered and remembered, and what was her hope and her strength was that she was hupernikio. Through Christ, she had everything that she needed to help her to persevere and to get through. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. No, no, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. Hupernikio, through Christ, who loved us.